Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
And welcome back. And once again, I'm not Tim Wildman. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for the chief today and tomorrow, joined in studio by Fred Jackson, Wesley Wildman. Chris Woodward has gone to the desk, and that means it's Steve Paisley Jordahl time.
Hey, everybody. How you
and
doing?
You've been living up to your reputation.
I am doing
Although
my
yesterday
best.
You had the
penguin.
Not the penguin. Flamingos.
Yeah. Well, you need to get you a penguin one.
I'd wear it. I would wear it.
I believe it.
I would wear it for sure.
But anyway, welcome to you,
yeah,
Steve.
And if anybody really doesn't understand what we're talking about, if you go to streaming.afa.net.
Stream anything.
Stream.afa.net. You can watch us online.
Yep.
And sometimes they even have a picture of me in my shirt.
Yep.
That's right.
That is definitely a Paisley shirt.
Yes, it is.
It's very attractive.
Thank you.
I prefer the ones that you, just with the black and purple, my favorite colors.
When are we serving again in this capacity next? Next week, are you in?
I'm on vacation next week.
Well, you remind me. Remind me when we're there, and I'll wear it.
Okay. All right. All right, Steve. Let's launch this puppy.
Let's do this. The State Department has designated or will designate four Antifa-linked groups that are operating in Europe as foreign terrorist organizations. It is the first time the U.S. government has applied the foreign terrorist designation to an Antifa-linked group that is actually outside the U.S. You remember that they did have talk about Antifa being a terrorist organization. Part of the problem with that is broadly they can treat them as such, but all the laws relating to terror were written with regard to foreign terror, like ISIS and those kind of terror groups.
Al-Qaeda.
Just like the FBI and CIA have different venues that they can operate in. Terrorism laws are a little more difficult to apply here, although they're trying to find a way. But that being said, the groups are, one group is in Greece. It's Antifa Ost, O-S-T. Tell me if these don't sound communist to you. In Italy, they have one called the International Revolutionary Front, which is also known as, informally, as the Anarchist Freedom Federation. And two in Greece, the Armed Proletarian Justice and Revolutionary Class Self-Defense.
So these are Antifa?
Antifa groups.
Okay, now,
groups.
Now, Fred, part of the problem here has been, well, first of all, under the Biden administration, they denied there was any such thing as Antifa, a group. They said it's just an idea, you remember? But part of the problem has been, I will hand it to Antifa. They have done a good job keeping their leadership decentralized so that it is harder to draw a bead on some of these groups. But I think I can trust the Trump administration and this Department of Justice to find ways and to find there's got to be links between these groups, whether it's money, whatever it is, organization, maybe even some leaders. There's got to be you don't act in unison like a lot of these Antifa groups do unless there's leadership.
Someone is placing bricks on pallets outside.
Yes, yeah. Someone's doing all that.
Listen, what happened on Columbia University 48 hours after October 7th, 2023.
Right.
Mm-hmm. When we saw how the anti-Israel protests came together after that massacre of Jewish men, women, and children. When we saw that come together so quickly, you remember the tents that were used at these protests? They were all the same.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The placards they were holding, all of that.
Same wording, same color.
At the very least, you have to agree, there was some organization behind that. There had to be financing of that. Where did the money come from? You know, kids didn't go to their piggy bank and take a few cents out to do this. No, there was something behind it all. George Soros' name comes to mind. And I mean, it's pretty well been proven over and over again that the Soros organization has
Open foundations.
Lines to foundations. Yeah. And they do the
Open society.
The upfront funding of this sort of thing. Of course there's organization out there. You know, what we saw in the after the death of George Floyd, the quick organization of protests across the country, what we saw in Seattle, I mean, there were parts of that city that were taken over for a long time. And quite frankly, the Justice Department of the Biden administration just looked the other way. So did the mainstream media. That's the problem. And this is one of the reasons why the Trump administration is hated so much now.
Yeah.
Is because they're starting to, people like Dan Bongino and others, are starting to expose this. That's been out there. It's been cooking for a long time. And I hope they continue their work at the FBI.
Wesley, I remember during the Biden administration when Christian groups would get together at a public park for some sort of a rally or a praise and worship service. You'd have Antifa show up shortly thereafter. And you say, how did they get there? How'd they know about it?
Somebody's coordinating it somewhere. And that's what they're trying. That's what they're getting to the bottom of. You know, another thing that's interesting, too, is you mentioned Seattle. That was the 2021 summer.
Summer of love.
I remember the summer of love. But it's interesting how none of those instances, and that's one of about three or four we could bring up, that the word insurrection was never used.
Uh-huh.
Interesting. But yet when January 6th happens, it's called in. But the takeover of Seattle public buildings by force, is that not by definition an insurrection?
Of course.
Yes.
Of course.
And the names of some of these Antifa-linked groups overseas absolutely sound communist in their nature. Now, their argument is, we're against fascism. And that, but these groups are indistinguishable in how they operate.
Yes.
And I don't want violent groups performing acts of insurrection on either side of the political spectrum.
They couldn't define fascism if you handed them a dictionary. They have no idea.
I
do have a question to you, though, Ed. I was listening in the first half hour, and you were not willing to cut California any slack, but you just did give Antifa some credit. So I think we need to talk about priorities here.
Yes. Well, what I was giving them credit for was figuring out ahead of time how to try to avoid prosecution for illegal acts. So it was kind of tongue-in-cheek when I was mentioning their decentralized policy. But well played, sir.
Thank you. All right. You guys also mentioned the high school that was doing the Turning Point USA chapter. There's a couple stories about colleges in the wake of the Charlie Kirk assassination. The requests to establish TPUSA groups across the country at both the high school and college levels just exploded. So far, they have not been successful at Point Loma University, Point Loma Nazarene University, which is in San Diego. It is a Christian college, Nazarene, although from the story, maybe their total sanctification isn't quite enforced yet, because they are Nazarene. But they have so far denied the students' group the permission to start this. They say while applicants indicated that they would not participate in the watch list, their application included phrasing that mirrors language used on TPUSA's website and connected with it. It's not aligned with the Association of Student Body's purpose of fostering constructive communication and interaction between students. So they're saying that it's not bringing students together.
Did you explain the watch list?
The watch list is monitoring where the professors are ideologically.
Mm-hmm.
And other chapters of Turning Point USA have a watch list. They identify a professor who expresses hate against Christians, et cetera, et cetera. And according to this school, that's a problem because they use the language kumbaya. We want to make sure everybody comes together. The level of hypocrisy there is incredible, because these same schools that say these things, if you express opposition to abortion, you're targeted.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to have that opinion.
Right.
If you express opposition to radical LGBTQ, or you express opposition to transsexuals and, gender-affirming care, as they like to call it, if you express opposition to that, that viewpoint is not tolerated. But, and they use this language all the time, the kumbaya language, I like to call it. We just want to have everybody happy. No, that's not true. They favor one particular group. And the fact that they don't want you talking about professors that have far left views is an indication that they really don't believe what they say.
I don't think I would know any Christian, Wesley, who would be in favor of, at a Christian school like this. What's the name of the school again in San Diego, Point Loma?
Point Loma University.
Point Loma, okay. I don't think I would think any Christian would be in favor of having a list of professors who have, let's say, cultural Marxist ideas. Nobody's in favor of doxing them and, lighting their cat on fire. You know, and otherwise persecuting them. That, frankly, is something the left is willing to do.
Yeah, sure.
But I don't think there's anything wrong with saying, hey, I posted a video on my social media account of what my professor said about the founding of the country. What's wrong with that?
I don't see anything wrong with that. That's the opposite of that is a hate list, which is what the ACLU and SPLC, that's what they have. This is not a hate list. This is making other people aware of the ideology of some of the professors and teachers, so that for those that care, we'll try to avoid these teachers.
Yeah.
Yeah, not has nothing to do with, like you said, nobody in the Christian conservative right has any interest out when they get through with their job or get through with church, going to docs or have any type of altercation with people with different ideology. They're just living their life. They're just trying to avoid this type of unnecessary teaching to their kids.
Yeah.
On the other side of the country, William and Mary in Williamsburg, Virginia, they have allowed a TPUSA chapter to be started there. The administration there telling the Fox News was supportive of this. Student body, not so much. They were getting a lot of pushback on a social media app called Yik Yak. I had no idea.
Yik Yak.
Someone's getting money being paid how to name social media apps. Yik Yak. They were complaining on Yik Yak that the students, they didn't like it because it's not fostering niceness, and they call the student group, the opposition to it calls it racist and all the normal charges, but they will be able to start a chapter at William & Mary.
I got to tell you, Fred, the young people who start these TPUSA groups on college campuses are bold and courageous young people, because they know exactly what's coming for them.
Yes.
Tables tipped over and people screaming in their faces, that kind of thing, which has happened.
Cross necklaces ripped off of you.
Yes, that's right. They know all that's coming. So I'm just going to say I admire these young people at William & Mary. Now, is that a Catholic school?
I believe it is. It's a Catholic college.
I just admire these young people. They are willing to stand up for their beliefs when they know harassment, hassle, persecution's coming.
Well, Charlie, if you talk to these kids, especially, 100,000 new chapters that want to be started in the wake of Charlie Kirk's assassination, you talk to these kids and they go back to, well, this is what Charlie Kirk stood for.
Yeah.
He wanted to go on these campuses, not to be nasty, but he wanted to confront those with an ideological left point of view. He wanted to challenge them to think, how did you come to that conclusion?
Yeah.
Why is it that you believe that? And he did it in a way that was, yes, it was confrontational, but his motivation was, think about what you believe and why you believe it. Where did you get that from? Yeah. And confront them with reality.
Yeah.
Confront them with, for
facts,
the biological reality of XX chromosomes and XY chromosomes, and there ain't nothing in between.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, that's a biological reality. you know, they used to call people flat earthers.
Yeah.
You know, because you didn't go along with what they call basic biology. Now you have a culture out there that even a Supreme Court justice who didn't want to define what a woman was.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah.
Yes. Justice Jackson.
Yeah.
When she was being confirmed.
I'm not a biologist.
So that's what Charlie Kirk did. Charlie Kirk's assassination has just lit a fire under so many young people. You know, I may not be accepted. People may not like me, but by golly, I'm going to speak the truth.
Yeah.
And not be ashamed to do that.
Amen. I admire them.
Yes.
They're willing to do that.
Yes.
Yeah, because, you know, you don't have to do it. You can just live your life and just stay in the shadows.
Yeah.
Get your degree.
Yes.
Go on and live your life. But these kids are bold. I don't know them, but I'm proud of them.
Yes.
So.
Let me add this. So I'm going to read the definition here of fascism. A far-right authoritarian political ideology characterized by a central... Now, this is Google here, too.
Yeah.
So y'all hop in here if you think they're off a little bit. Characterized by centralized dictatorial power, forcible suppression of opposition, and a strong regimentation of society and the economy. You know, it's interesting, and they give examples of... Mussolini and Hitler. You know, it's interesting too, because when you start reading the definitions of what the left, the radical left, accuses us of, so many times when you read it out loud, you say to yourself, "That sounds like them."
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you think about it, so many times that we're accused of the very thing that they are literally acting out.
The left has done this great job of capturing the language, Wesley, so
they
that
have.
They don't have to define fascism. It's as opposed to communism, where the government seizes the means of production. Fascists let the private companies exist; they just take control of them and make them do their bidding, basically.
Right.
And so, you know who the original anti-fascists were, right? The GIs who invaded Utah Beach on D-Day. They were out after the real fascists.
Yeah.
That is just a word that they throw out, like racist. It doesn't mean anything except you're a bad person.
Yeah.
Hey,
and I disagree with you.
Right. Mm-hmm. I want to have a moment of silence, brief moment of silence, because we're on the radio, for the death of the penny. After 230
that
plus years. Well, I don't want alarms to go off.
Yeah, you're fine.
Brief silence.
After 230 years, yesterday in Philadelphia, they minted the very last penny they are ever going to mint. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent was there to push the button, and we will no longer be minting pennies. I was going to say, you don't bother hoarding them right now. There are currently 300 billion of them in circulation, so it's not like you're going to miss them soon, but... We are no longer minting pennies.
And you know, one of the reasons they did that? Because it cost 4 pennies to create 1 penny.
Yeah.
I mean, that doesn't make economic sense in anybody's book. And I was shocked to learn, I don't know if your story says this, how much it costs to make a nickel these days. I mean, I think it's 10 or 11 cents.
To make a nickel?
To make a nickel. The dime, not too bad. 5 pennies, I think.
I had never thought about that before. You're telling the truth, right? That's crazy.
This has been known for a while. Part of that is because the economic policy of this country for the last 50 years has made most monies worth less and less than they used to be.
Uh-huh.
You know, just the dollar isn't worth as much and all of that kind of thing. But because these are made out of metal... And they have some weight to them, as opposed to like a dollar bill doesn't weigh much. It does become more expensive. My only concern about this, I'm glad to hear that there's 300 billion of these around, is that now you're going to have companies rounding up. So for everything you buy, you're losing 4 cents on it. And then if they get rid of the nickels, we're in big trouble.
Then well, you know what they're going to be doing? They're because President Trump has already said they're looking into a digital currency where they won't have any legal tender anymore.
They're going to have riots over that. Yeah. Listen, if Trump says that's part of his policy, I disagree, and I will criticize that all day, every day, because that is going to fall into the hands of not only globalists, but here in this country. You talk about totalitarian instruments, digital currency will be a way for the American people to be controlled. President Trump, I know you listen to our program between 10 and 1130. Please don't do this. we're big fans, but don't give in to the globalists, because I don't want the government controlling.
I want to make one point about monetary policy in Canada.
Yeah.
They had dollar bills and $2 bills. They've been replaced by coin to save money because paper wears out more quickly. So in Canada, if you go up there for a visit, folks, you're going to find loonies and toonies.
That's what they call them?
The loonie is the $1 coin. The toonie is the $2
coin. Is that
the
name of birds? Or is Looney and Toonie, is that Looney Tunes?
No.
Looney Tunes, yes, that's a cartoon.
Looney kind of fits the liberal government in Canada.
That's true. Looney's,
so people Looney's carry coins in your pocket?
Well, after being a week in Canada, you will have the heaviest pockets that you've ever had.
Yeah.
I hear you.
Because the change that you get back are loonies and toonies and nickels and all that sort of thing. All of a sudden, you've got $8 worth of coin in your pocket.
Oh my goodness!
Yes,
I keep all my change in a little Ziploc bag where I put my keys at night. Every so often, I'll grab that bag. It's getting heavy. Yeah. I can clear more than $100 worth of change.
Well, make sure that bag doesn't bust.
I know
you lose all that hard work.
Hey, y'all are going to take me off on a Tim Wildman rabbit hole here. I stored up change in the garage in a jar that only I knew where it was.
Yeah.
Until one of my kids saw me putting some change in there.
Uh-oh.
And then let the wife know about it.
Oh, uh-oh, man.
And then I lost $38 in change. I don't know what. I had no plans for it. I didn't know what I was going to do with it, but I was proud that over 4, 5, 6 months that I was keeping up, or had a place to put my change.
If you really want to make her feel bad, say, "Well, gone. Now I won't be able to afford the anniversary gift I was saving up for you."
That's
for,
right. So. There you go. I'm not that quick-witted.
Well, I will say this: coins in the pocket was the way everybody knew Brother Don was coming down the hallway.
That's right.
And you could, because he had change in his pocket. You could hear that. And if you were talking football or something by the water cooler, you'd say, "Hey, I'll catch you later." And then he caught on because he stopped carrying the coins in his pocket. And every time I was talking to somebody, he'd come around the corner and he'd say, "Get to work," to everybody. And the worst I ever got punked was J.J. Jasper. Okay, we were talking in the hallway. Now, folks, it sounds like I talk in the hallway all the time. I'm talking almost 30 years here. And Brother Don came around the corner. I was talking to JJ, and JJ said to me, he said, "Well, there's Brother Don, Ed. Tell him to his face." And I was sputtering. And no, Brother Don, we weren't talking about that. And he got me. All right, folks, that's all the time we have for today's issues today.
Oh, yeah.
And I want to remind you
we got National Collection Week.
And for Operation Christmas Child, go to SamaritansPurse.org/OCC to learn more and find a drop-off location near you for the shoeboxes. We will be live with Trivia Friday tomorrow. More great programming directly ahead on American Family Radio. Hope you will stay tuned.